From New Year's Day to halfway, day 26, 272.9. We Gillettes start our year running through the full range of human emotions in the first few hours. Every New Year's Day, before the presents, I buy a bunch of helium balloons at a nearby supermarket, and as a family, we let them go in memory of all the people we love who have died. I started this tradition in honor of my mom, who died on the first day of 2000, after asking me to release the balloons that were in her room. The children join Easy and me in that sadness, and we share the joy of presents and celebration. I added yet another new feeling in 2015. That was the first year I've awakened to a new year without feeling shitty from overeating like a freak the night before. I've never woken up hungover, of course, but I would still feel pretty shitty. I woke up this new year feeling great. I cried a little with my children as we watched the balloons disappear into the sky and then laughed a lot over the presents. I felt great. I didn't need to eat anything until supper time, right before the show. For Easy, the new year started with 2 weeks of just potatoes. You would think that eating only potatoes for 2 weeks would be so miserable that if you watch someone go through it, you'd never want to do it. But Easy had watched most of my potato famine and couldn't wait to do it. She'd seen all my new energy, my new joy, and my new look. She couldn't wait to get on the potato train. But she found eating nothing but potatoes to be less fun than she'd thought. She was in a shitty mood. I had moved on to big salads, and Easy made them for me. That's how much of a trooper she is. I discovered that this diet even changed how long it took me to eat. I've been able to bang down a double cheeseburger, fries, and a shake in less than 10 minutes. But these salads were just so much more food, so many more mouthfuls. I was eating a whole family-sized bowl full of salad, dressed with only vinegar, all by myself. I'd start eating before the children even sat down to supper, and I'd still be eating when they were back at their homework. It sometimes took me 45 minutes to eat my salad, and I shovel fast. I had cut my calories drastically, but I sure hadn't cut volume. I say I cut calories because I know I did, but there was no calorie counting. I ate until I was full, eating just what Cray Ray told me to eat, and didn't eat again until the next day. Day 30, 268.6. I went to see a magic show on my day off. My date was Piff, the magic dragon. It was a really shitty magic show, and that's why Piff wanted me to go with him. It was a weekday night right after New Year in Vegas, so the casinos were empty. Piff and I made the mistake we always make. We thought seeing a shitty show would make us laugh and feel superior, but only made us sad and want to quit show business. I could no longer find joy in bad art. I made a quick trip to the magic shop, and then Piff wanted supper. Remember, the Cray Ray didn't want me talking about my diet, so I just asked Piff where he wanted to eat. He wanted English food, so I went to an English pub called the Crown and Anchor here in Vegas. I thought I'd be able to find something to eat, but there was no baked potato, no rice, no plain vegetables. It was a real English pub. There was nothing acceptable for me to eat. If I'd been performing that day, it would have been a problem, but I had to worry about being lightheaded, so I ate nothing. According to Cray Ray, eating nothing is the option that's most often overlooked. You get into a groove with your diet, and then you go out to eat with friends, and there's nothing that's right for you on the menu. So you get something close. Well, they don't have plain salad with vinegar, so I guess I'll have a double cheeseburger. Make sure I get it with lettuce and tomato, so I'm kind of having a salad. I've thought that way. But there's always the option of eating nothing. One of the most important things Cray Ray taught me was there's no nutrient the human body needs every day. You need air every couple of minutes, water every couple of days, but there's no particular food you need to stay alive. At any given moment, I'm still weeks away from scurvy. The whole idea of I haven't eaten anything today being a bad thing had to go away. And that was a good thing. I just drank seltzer. It was awkward for about 15 seconds. There's nothing here I feel like eating, but I'm fine. Piff ate and I watched him, and who cares? In the end, I went more than 24 hours without eating and felt great. Just great. Crazy good. Piff didn't want English dessert, but he wanted dessert. So I suggested Krispy Kreme donuts. I kind of wanted to show off to myself. I wanted to go to my favorite hot donut place and just have a cup of decaffeinated coffee. Kind of like Gandhi, sleeping between two naked women to prove he could be celibate. Or maybe because it's fun to sleep between two naked women. I didn't eat any donuts, but I sure enjoyed the smell. Exactly like Gandhi and the women. Piff then decided to take me to the greatest and weirdest place on earth. Went to a place called Cafe Teas. It serves those weird Japanese bubble teas, like sugar water with tapioca floating in it. except they're served by young women in lingerie. It's real lingerie, not showbiz lingerie, so from certain angles, it's just a nude club. It's not lit like a strip club. It's lit like a place that serves weird bubble tea, so it's bright, bright, bright. It's the kind of light you rarely see lingerie in, even in the mirror in your own home. It's also cold, like stupid Vegas air conditioning show-off cold. You're thinking hard nipples, and that's certainly part of it, but that particular feature is accompanied by all the women shivering. Come for the erect nipples, stay for the hypothermia. This is heaven for Cray Ray, with his crazy cold experiments, shivering, nearly naked women serving bubble tea. That's weird enough, but the economics make it even weirder. The tea isn't overpriced, and there's no stupid high tipping, except from the magic dragon and me. So the women are walking around, almost nude, for less money than they make at Starbucks, with less clothing than they wear at a strip club. Weird. Who goes to a place like this? Well, when we were there, a bit before midnight on a weeknight, it seemed like the clientele consisted of high school girls playing board games. Tables of young women with backpacks playing checkers and Monopoly. There weren't any creepy old guys, other than me and my magic dragon. We noticed there were no crosses around anywhere, so we figured the servers were most likely vampires who were not concerned about money or cold, just with finding new victims. That's where Occam's razor pointed us. I can't speak for my magic dragon, but I was fine with being bitten on the neck at midnight by a shivering, nearly naked Asian woman. That's as good a way as any to become undead. Day 31, 270.5. Skipping that meal with Piff and drinking water instead of vampire bubble tea meant that I'd gone 25 hours without eating. Cray Ray loves this. Mini fasts really make the liver work. I didn't have a show, so not only did I not worry about getting lightheaded, I actually didn't get lightheaded. I was sitting down more and yelling like a freak while running around less. I felt great. Moxie was in cheerleading class. It lasts only 2 weeks because God is kind, and I was helping Z with his arithmetic at a Mexican restaurant. He had some nachos, and I had a few potatoes and a couple of tomatoes to get me ready for the day's show. Cray Ray was still working to resolve my lightheadedness. We decided to try an experiment. That night during the show, while Teller was on stage making a red ball dance around like magic, well, like magic with a thread attached, I ate a few glucose tablets backstage, the kind that diabetics use when their blood sugar is low. I continued to do that every night during the show for the rest of the diet phase, and I guess it kind of sort of helped. I didn't feel like I was going to faint, but I still felt too happy to do the show. I was so energetic and full of life as the weight fell off me that my mind would wander and wonder during the show. The Penn & Teller show is composed and memorized. We're doing tricks that look like miracles. We're doing tricks that look really dangerous. I can't just say whatever pops into my head. I have lots of other opportunities to improvise and ad lib. I do the Penn Sunday School podcast every week, and although I have notes, I'm really just talking and letting the conversation go where it wants. I can't do that in the live show, with rare exceptions. I have to stick to the script. Teller and the crew have to know where we are and what we're doing. My part is often to be the anchor that my coworkers cue off. That's not a hardship. I love planning the dive and diving the plan. I love trying to get the nuances a little better every night. I can do the show on autopilot. My mind can wander, and I can still do the show. And I think sometimes when I'm not present, the show is even better. I've watched carnies perform on the ballet with not even the slightest idea what the words mean anymore. Just pure rote recitation. And there can be so much beauty in that. Actors always talk about being in the moment, but I'm not sure the performers are any different. But with the new diet, I wasn't going on autopilot. I was taking the controls too often. I was thinking too fast for the memorized lines. I needed glucose and a lot of willpower to do a show that was fast, funny, and amazing, but still not as fast, funny, and amazing as I was really feeling. I was getting to be like Stephen Wright and had to get myself down for the show. Day 32, 268.3. Day 35. 266.7. Cray Ray, let me add Tabasco. Hey now! Tabasco has some salt, but it has much less than many other hot sauces. And Cray Ray thought it was okay. Now the whole world changed. The diet had been easy before, but now it was just full of joy. The amount of Tabasco that I can eat is astonishing. With Tabasco, I can eat anything. Beans become chili. They're these little room service bottles of Tabasco that I'll keep in my pocket at all times. It means at an airport, I can get a plain baked potato or some plain rice. Chinese fast food is better than Japanese fast food for this. The sushi places often add sugar and salt to rice. But Chinese places figure that since what they're going to put on the rice is all sugar, fat, and salt, they're okay leaving the rice plain. And just pour Tabasco on. I love it. We have bottles everywhere. At the house, at the theater, in the car, in my pocket. I love it. L.A. has the only vegan restaurant I found where I can eat. It's called Real Food Daily. I'll write later about why I hate vegan restaurants. And a lot of stuff on RFD's menu falls under that rubric. But they've got one thing that's perfect. The Real Food Meal. It's brown rice, beans, daily greens, land and sea vegetables, pressed salad, and a choice of one dressing or sauce. I get a little bit of peanut sauce on the side, need just a couple of drops. This is a big bowl of food, just a huge bowl. And when I was there, I had two of them. I had two huge bowls of food. It's just so good and so filling. I didn't use the peanut sauce, but I sprinkled some Tabasco over everything. I was very happy with my two bowls of food. When I ended up back in Vegas, my scale agreed too. Withings, Tabasco, Real Food Daily. With all these brand names, maybe I'm going to be as good a writer as Stephen King. While I was in L.A., I wanted to visit my buddy Andy, who was in the ICU for being a fat fuck, but I wasn't a family member, nor were we married, so I couldn't get in. It would take me a few months, but I eventually got him on the diet, and today he's down 50 pounds and feeling great. You might assume that the reason I went to L.A. was to visit the friend who came close to death, but that would mean you don't understand my priorities very well. The reason I went to L.A. was to do magic for a dog. More precisely, Teller did magic for a dog, and I did the voice of the dog's interior monologue. The CW was doing some sort of award show for dogs. Find a need and fill it. And since our show, Penn and Teller Fool Us, was going to air on the CW, we wanted to get some exposure. So there I was, rehearsing magic for a dog. Teller was doing sleight of hand with steak. I don't like dogs. Our family is a reptile family. Mox is allergic to dogs, and I'm creeped out by things being eugenically bred to look like our children and suck up to us. So Mox has geckos, and Z has a bearded dragon. These animals were not bred to suck up. They don't even care that we're around. That's what I like in a domestic animal. We're a turtle, fish, and lizard family. We have crickets mailed directly to us, and our pet supper sings to us. We like that. We learned that dogs will not walk across a big, very well-lit, glossy floor. That's another reason an award show for dogs is against nature. My friend was in the ICU, and I was watching my business partner do the French drop with a ball of meat to fool the dog that was almost as big as me. We kept getting bigger and bigger dogs to do the trick for. I was losing weight so quickly, and the dogs were getting bigger, so if he'd done this gig a few months later, the dog I'd be voicing would have been bigger than me. I was still in Newfoundland, but I was heading towards Shih Tzu. Meanwhile, another dear friend of mine, Tony, was having open-heart surgery in Chicago for being a fat fuck. Motherfucker, I think I made the right choice. Day 36, 264.9. I'm overweight! No longer obese. My BMI is 29. That puts me at the top of the overweight category. It's the first time in years that I haven't been obese. That's a big step. On Penn & Teller Bullshit, we did a big hunk on how BMI was total bullshit. The plan was always to do a bullshit of bullshit show, which we'd tear ourselves apart like we did all the other assholes and point out that we were wrong. We were kind of right on BMI. It is bullshit. It's not a good way to judge health, level of fat, or weight. It's total jive. But even so, I kept checking it and was thrilled to finally make overweight. That doesn't say anything about BMI. It's still just as bullshit. But it does say a lot about me. Shallow, hypocritical, self-serving, lacking convictions and a moral compass. All true. But also, no longer obese. The New York Times theater reviews are all bullshit too, but they gave us raves on the Broadway show, and we celebrated that. Nothing here to be proud of, except no longer being obese and having a well-reviewed show on Broadway. I wasn't quite halfway through the program, and I'd really hit a groove. I had my contrast showers every morning, and then I'd have one meal a day. Right before the show, I'd have some sort of chili over potatoes, and that would get me through nicely with the aid of a couple of glucose tablets. I was still lightheaded now and again, but it wasn't too irresponsible for a guy who was just overweight. I was losing weight really fast and feeling better every day. Day 37, 264.3. I was 5 weeks into the cult and I'd lost 40 pounds. I had an interview with CBS for some jive thing. Everyone was scrambling around trying to find clothes that would kind of sort of look okay on me. I did the interview with safety pins running up and down my back, gathering up what was now extra fabric. My jeans used to be tight at a 44 waist, and now I was loose in a 38. But I didn't want to buy many new pairs because I wasn't going to be 38 for long. Day 38, 264.8. I went to visit Moxie for lunch at school, and the servers noticed I was a lot thinner. It's going to be the only thing anyone ever talks to me about. Just chili every day, one meal a day, sometimes on rice, sometimes on potatoes. The potatoes and rice aren't really part of Cray Ray's plan, but I seem to need them to be able to focus during the show. My mom used to cut up radishes and cucumbers and put them in a bowl with apple cider vinegar and a little sugar, salt, and pepper. It's one of my favorite tastes of summer. Easy made it for me just like Mom did, but without the salt and sugar. Wow, just so good. We bought an assortment of fancy-ass vinegars, all sorts of balsamics and some with, like, plum flavor. But, you know, plain old apple cider vinegar is the best. I could drink that stuff straight. And not just because it would be a blasphemous travesty of the Holy Communion, but also because it's good for me and tastes great. One of the downsides of this diet is that someone looks at our pantry, it's pretty clear that at least one hippie lives here, and maybe a whole family of hippies. It's pretty disgusting. Although organic is bullshit and no GMO is bullshit, a lot of the food we buy is labeled that way. Now we have apple cider vinegar with the mother. I use the cloudy vinegar that is cellulose mixed with the cooties to make apple juice into vinegar. I'm eating active cooties on my salad. It's just stupid. But I feel great, and it tastes great, and I'm losing weight. Come here, Uncle John's band. Day 39, 265.9. I've written a lot about the changes in my health and looks, but there are other changes going on. I was getting happier, even though this was a time of very heavy stress. Whenever I mention work or stress, I don't really mean it. Viktor Frankl, in his essay about being a prisoner at Auschwitz, draws an analogy between suffering and gas, and that they both fill up whatever space they're put into. He says suffering completely fills the consciousness and soul, whether the suffering is great or small. This man, who lived through the worst suffering any humans have ever endured, says suffering is absolutely relative. I guess that's true for all people who suffer, but I'm in showbiz, so I don't suffer. I get annoyed and pissed off, and those things are not noble gases. That's not suffering. Please understand that anything I complain about is done with the full and constant knowledge that I have nothing to complain about. But I want to make a point about this diet. In my stress-free life, the time I spent on this diet was pretty stressful. I was working on a movie, and the people who were most important to me on the movie weren't getting along, and I was in the middle of it. My schedule was insane, flying all over the country, working from early in the morning to late at night. I had a lot of people tugging on my coat about everything. I've always considered myself to be a very happy person, but looking back on myself as a fat fuck, I wasn't that happy. I told myself I was happy. I tried to act happy, but I failed. There was a lot of quiet sulking as my two atoms of suffering gas bounced around, filling my non-existent soul. I'd lost over 40 pounds, and I was backstage at a shindig in a big hotel ballroom full of TV critics. Phil and I were going to go out and announce that our new TV show would be coming out the next season and then do a Q&A about it. I was being briefed by one of the suits on what I was supposed to say, and more important, what I was supposed to not say when I got out in front of the reporters. Now, my answer to a suit giving me that kind of briefing has always been, "Thanks, and go fuck yourself, I'll say what I want." And that's exactly what I said. But now, being 40 pounds lighter, I was smiling. I didn't mean it. It was a big change for me. After that, one of the people I worked closely with decided to sit me down and explain in detail how I'd recently fucked up a deal with a TV network, how our meeting with the suits had gone badly, and it was all my fault. He told me this at regular intervals, I think to make sure I remembered that it wasn't his fault. And if I did as much for my career as he did for my career, he'd be doing a lot better than the great he was doing. I think he's right. I did fuck up the meeting, and badly. I wasn't rude. I was just stupid. I'm a Vegas comedy magician, and I was always trying to get some serious drama on the air with me as creator and writer. The meeting at Morton's had gone well. We'll see. But I fucked up the meeting before that, and now it was time to remind me of that again while I sat backstage and got ready to go out and not lie like I was supposed to in front of the press. Normally, that much hot, suffering gas in the room would have bummed me out for a couple of hours, and I probably would have fucked up the press conference because I was bummed about fucking up an earlier meeting in the same way. But things had changed. I was a different guy. Along with the 40 pounds, I'd also lost a great deal of sadness and anger. I sat there while my feelings were explained to me and shuffled. I wasn't really shuffling. I was working on a new false shuffle, a deck of cards, and listened. I wasn't really listening. I was working on a new skinny false listen. There's a lyric written by NRBQ, a wonderful band who put words to the Rebels' Wild Weekend. It's one of the best descriptions of joy I've ever heard. Joey Spampinato sings, "The girl's a drag, but it don't even faze me." The things that are being said to me, "You're a fuck-up," and "Go on stage and lie about your show," were certainly a drag, but didn't faze me. I shuffled and listened and went on with my day. As it turned out, I did everything the suit wanted me to, and the conference went great. I think a lot of it was the weight loss. I've always been happy around my children, but now I was clearly happier. I was nicer to Teller. Now, when I say nicer to Teller, that kind of makes it seem like I was nice to Teller, and now I was even more nice. But I've never been nice to Teller. We're co-workers, at best polite and at worst rude to each other. I'm worse to Teller than he is to me, but now I was smiling at him more. I was happy to see him. I have a very easy and pleasant life, and losing the weight made it more pleasant. In case I haven't mentioned this before, I'm an atheist. I do not believe there's any mind-body separation. All we are is our brains. We are chemical reactions. We are stuff. I haven't even really entertained the thought of a soul or even a mind for years and years, and yet I was beginning to see that wasn't true. This diet has shown me that I was depressed because I was a fat fuck. Not depressed because I wasn't good-looking or couldn't do certain things or even because I was dying, but depressed because I was physically fat. There is something purely chemical that made me sadder. It's not that amazing, right? You're going to feel like you have less energy if you're fat and have to lug around all that weight. So why wouldn't that also be true emotionally? I've written elsewhere about Cray Ray taking me up to the vomit comet to get me weightless and how I stripped naked and sang Barbarella and threw up all over him. The way you achieve weightlessness is that plane does parabolas. It flies straight up and then straight down in a sine wave. All the chatter afterwards is about the glorious feeling of weightlessness and the giggly fun and the euphoria. But because it's a pretty equal wave, the up feeling of weightlessness, which is the airplane going down, is balanced by the down feeling of being twice your weight, which is the airplane going up. So when I took that flight, I weighed about 250 pounds, and experienced weighing almost nothing and weighing about 500 pounds. The exact time changed with every parabola, but it was about 30 seconds in each state. And we did it over 20 times. There was a lot about this experience that was mind-blowing. But the part that seems so relevant here is the mood changes. When I was weightless, I was giggling, full of energy and in love with life. And when I was 500 pounds, I was so sad and depressed, I would almost cry. The airplane and my changes in weight caused these huge mood changes. Now I was seeing it in slow-mo. I didn't lose 500 pounds in 30 seconds, but I'd lost 40 pounds in about the same number of days. And I was happier. I was just plain motherfucking happier. And I started out pretty fucking happy. Day 42. 261.2. In the afternoon, I went out with my family and a couple other families to the Titanic exhibit at the Luxor. It's just shit from the Titanic, but it's a nice exhibit and makes you very pensive. Tragedy can be relaxing. In the first room, our family was making too much noise. This guy came over and reprimanded Easy for not being more respectful to the people who were trying to listen to the audio wants. She argued back, and I went over and got into it. This was a change, I think because of the weight loss. When I was younger, the world was performance art. But as I've gotten older and more successful, I tend to save my whimsy for when I'm working. I've been very reserved in public, polite, respectful, and quiet. Some of that restraint must have been stored in some of the fat I lost. I decided to be crazy there in the Titanic exhibit just for fun. The aggrieved guy told me to be respectful, and I said, "I haven't made a sound. What are you blaming me for?" He pointed to the group we were with and to Easy. I said, "What? I don't know her. I'm not with them. Why are you talking to me?" He didn't know what to say because he was dealing with a crazy person. I said quietly, with great respect for all the people who had died in the Titanic and for those who had bought the audio wands to hear about them, "Let's get her. Let's kick her ass. Come on. Let's really fuck her up." Let's show her what respect means. Let's get her. Come on, let's kick her ass. It may would have been an awkward and embarrassing situation. Insane. I like insane a lot more than awkward. Now it was performance art. He was completely in the right, and our family pulled it together after his reprimand. See? This is what happens when I'm in a good and energetic mood. I'm a different kind of asshole. My wife was so pleased that I stuck up for her. It takes a special kind of woman to love me.